All right, to get us started this morning, so we're going to talk a little bit about where we've been so far with the class and where we're going to be going from this point forward. And so, you know, the main purpose of this quarter is to set up for what's coming next quarter. And that's, you know, starting that four-year cycle that's going to be coming on the next quarter. And so, you know, what all we're covering here in this class is that high-level content that's kind of the outline for that four-year period that's coming. And so I've done that with the cycles, or the layers, as I'd like to call it also, that we've been covering. And so, you know, Tim and Scott have been doing most of that. And, you know, Tim's starting us off with that first layer, that 17 periods, and that's that main memory, you know, memory peg framework where you can hang the major events and narrative stories on kind of, you know, on spots in your mind to help remember that. And so, you know, that's that first cycle. The second cycle was Scott going into a little bit more detail and where you actually cover, you know, a handful, 4 or 5 points per major narrative time period to, again, help start to build that framework and structure in your mind for where you can help remember this stuff. And then layer three, where you actually add the scriptures to it and even more details. You know, and Tim at one point said, and kind of jokingly, you know, that layer three and then layer four, or cycle three and four. But I've kind of latched onto that cycle four concept because, I mean, it really, it's another level of detail that can help. And it's really that level of detail that in my mind I'm thinking about when you're actually covering, say, what we're going to cover today, when you're covering all that in a quarter. The whole book of Genesis, so that, you know, cycle 1, 2, 3, and then 4 concept. The classes that I've done so far have been primarily the geography, so we did 2 classes on that, and that was 2 just, again, very high-level general classes on geography. Really didn't talk about any, you know, biblical, really scripture stories specifically, but just trying to get the layout of the land, what it looks like, what it feels like, what some of the elevations feel like if you're going from, you know, one place to another. Some photos of different areas in the major landscapes, you know, think the coastal plain, Judean hill country, Jordan River and Jordan River Valley, Transjordan Plateau, you know, those things like that, to think about what those landscapes look like. And there also there's some maps coming around. We'll be doing just a little bit of map work this morning. So that's, and then the third class, that I did was the timeline class. And so we did a timeline that helps, kind of helps to place things where we can. Some of the early stuff we talked about, very hard to do, but where we can try to place some of these things in line with secular history and events to help line some of that up as you're going through those classes. And we talked about in that timeline lecture how the idea and concept of that was to give you something for maybe one slide or a couple of slides of a reference, or even just to mention in classes when you're teaching, you know, what secular events may line up with the particular biblical events that you're talking about at that time. Okay, and then with that, where are we going from here? So this is a first class, and so I think there's, I think we have 10 classes that are going to be classes like this where we're covering some of the major periods. It's not necessarily just one of the 17 periods. Some of them are combined. But like this morning, we have a couple of them combined for the book of Genesis that we'll cover. But so you're going to have 10 of these classes. Again, can't go into super level of detail, right, because this is the kind of stuff you're going to be covering over a whole quarter. But it helps give you more of those details and, you know, try to touch heavily on the history and geography part, more the geography part when possible. Anybody else need a map? Everybody got a map? Blank map. Jared's got more. I think we're good. So that's where we're going to be going from here again, and it's that level 3 and 4 stuff that we're going to be covering. And if you've been using the book for reference, Bob and Sandra's book for this, the way you'll see a lot of this broken up is by the reviews. And so usually you'll have about 5 lessons, and then you'll have a review. And most of these 10 classes, I think there's 12 total classes left, but one class will be a wrap-up at the end. And Tim is also doing another review as well that's going to be scattered in there. But yeah, so if you're flipping through the book and looking out through the table of contents in the book, it'll be the review classes. There are most of these 10 classes that'll be coming with all this content for the rest of the quarter. And, you know, a couple other things. You know, so Tim mentioned in the last class talking about some resources, and he showed on the website where you can go to get at least, so I call them the Scott Richardson maps, that because he's the one that produced the maps like that one that you see on the cover slide that we've been using. So, you know, when I first started preparing for this class, that's one of the first places I went was to the website looking for these maps. I knew they were out there. I think there's also, I don't think Tim's timeline is out there, but I'm sure he'd be glad to put it out there, or you can get a copy of it from him. I think he's only charging about $5 a copy. But you can get that from him. But I think there's also one out there on the site as well. There's also some photos out there. So Rebecca and I, from some of our travels that we've done over there, we put together kind of a few little packages of photos, and that some of the ones that you see that I use here in the class. Got thousands, but we tried to condense a small set to show some of these main and general areas and landscapes and cities that we'll talk about through this. So another thing too is that, you know, when I started looking back through the materials I'd worked on with some of this before, I found an outline that was actually, an outline that Eric Patterson, Eric and Lee Patterson, when they were here, Eric did a series of classes at their house on Sunday night for a few classes to do essentially what that this memory work like that we're doing here. And so, you know, I went back and found that outline, you know, and it's very similar to what the outline that Tim is using. And, you know, but Tim has kind of got his own flavor and some details with some of his that's different. But, you know, you look at this stuff and it's that helpful memory framework to build on and to try to help memorize this stuff. And of course, you know, and a lot of you sitting out there, I mean, you've done this a long time and you know this stuff. Some of you maybe not as much, maybe you're in the middle of the road of it, you know, like I would say I am, but then there's some that maybe you just haven't seen this approach before. And so, and Tim has talked about this before a lot in his classes too, of how, you know, there's nothing special, you know, about what we're doing other than the fact that it's just laying it out in a nice, easy to remember, structured, you know, methodical way. And so, you know, whatever outline you're using and how you adjust it for yourself is up to you, but, that's what we're doing here, just trying to provide that outline, that framework. All right, so I always start out with my favorite map, right? So a lot of what I'm doing and what we're doing in these classes is trying to get that history and geography. So, I want to show this map every time because I love it, for one, because it has that view where you can see the elevation, the different elevations there in the land. But if we turn it upright, you know, this is that core map for most of, you know, where the Old Testament plays out, New Testament stuff too. But certainly a lot of the Old Testament stuff goes on here. And then that New Testament view. So, in what we're going to be talking about this morning, so, you know, we're going to be starting over in coming out over in the area that's off the map. But, you know, through today, we're going to end up down in Israel with Abraham, and we're going to end up down in Egypt too. Not permanently yet, but we're going to start going that direction. All right, so from the timeline class that we did, so I'm going to show a couple of slides from that just to kind of reorient us to where we are and just to make a couple of points. And, you know, kind of this first main point is that when we start off, if we're thinking about secular history and timeline, you know, when we're starting off very early, this is the one where we had the question marks from a time and dating perspective. It's very early. How early? We don't know. But, you know, the core of these slides is, you know, the Bible events, the what would be happening in the world. And then, you know, it was usually a photo or a map to go along with that. But with this, you know, you really don't have the photos and maps to go along with that. You have some places mentioned, right? And you have some things you can reference, but it's not super heavy and detailed like we will be in a few classes where we can get very specific with some places we're going, show some very specific things on the ground to show, you know, how people would have traveled around between the different places that we're going to be covering. So here, just to show and give that idea that it's mainly the narrative that we're concerned about here. Oh, we did have the one map of the flood. Don't forget that one. So this was a slide that, you know, takes us back to very, very early history and time frame, 2500 BC, listed the Tower of Babel under there, and, you know, said this back in that lecture that it wasn't, not that we can directly connect that, but if we're looking for the earliest things happening biblical-wise that we may could tie something to, and if we look at early cultures like the Sumerians, the Egyptians, that had writing and different things like that, you know, that ziggurat culture that we talked about, maybe something you could tie to that. You remember we talked about the ziggurat, those elevated platforms, not a tomb, it's not a pyramid, it doesn't have inner workings is just filled. But it's these raised platforms that had these structures at the top that from some of the texts that go along with them would say that they were used for, you know, communication to the to deities. That seemed to be the intended purpose. And then also these cultures had art, they had writing, you know, they have, you know, cuneiform and with Akkadian script. So just different things that those cultures at the time would have had. And, you know, if we're thinking about this 2500 time period date, most likely Abraham was around 2000, around 2000 BC. Different reasons we would think that, but that's probably roughly where we would put him. And just to think about these things that would be even before him, in this time period. Okay, and so this map, and if you could actually read it, which most of you probably can't, but I have a note down there for it too. So this is a later map of the Assyrian Empire, but you may remember this from the timeline lecture. And so we're showing this one for a couple of things. One, you know, this puts us with Abraham leaving Ur, so coming down from this area and over through the Fertile Crescent, stopping at Haran up there. Joseph in Egypt, Israelite slavery, you know, if we're talking roughly that time period. Do have world events we connect with that, peoples, Amorites, Hittites, Hammurabi and his code, things like that. But you may remember we talked about the trade route between Asshur and Kanish. So Asshur being about right there, and then Kanish being there. And so we talked about those trade routes and how, you know, if you have that story of Abraham that we're going to be talking about today, you know, very much trade was happening, you know, on trade routes that would run the Tigris and Euphrates River and then over, coming over down to Damascus and getting down into Egypt. So you've got, you know, it's not unreasonable for any reason to think that Abraham wouldn't have been where he was, doing what he's doing, traveling like he was. He may have been called out for a specific purpose and maybe something God was directing him to do, but for him to be traveling where he did and how he would have the routes that he possibly could have taken, you know, no reason to think that that wouldn't have happened as the Bible described it did in that time period. But kind of going from those timeline slides into what we're transitioning into what we're doing today is beginning that deeper dive on the on the content for these lessons. And so, you know, when you think about this in that cycle 3 and 4 level detail, so, you know, this and like today is what you're going to expand, you know, over an entire quarter. But as we think about that and expanding some of these things, you can begin to get into these kind of things. And of course, obviously, you're going to adjust you know, how you do this depending on what age group you might be teaching or working with. But you can begin to ask these questions like, okay, so the book of Genesis, what kind of book is it? What is its purpose? What is it doing? Is it doing things like giving us a biography of someone or multiple people? It does talk about multiple people, but maybe not so much as we would think about in a biography perspective. Is it lessons in morality? Sure, there are plenty of lessons you can pull from a morality perspective and what's right and wrong. But is that all it's doing? It's not, right? Is it a history? So it is history in some ways, but is it a history book like we would think about a history book in our modern you know, Western mindset? Not really. It's got more stuff mixed in there, like the things above it. Is it scientific? Is it giving you the how in details? We're going to be talking about, just briefly, covering creation this morning. Is it giving you the chemistry and the physics of what's going on in the background with creation? It's, you know, that's not something it's doing. Covenant history. And that's, you know, so that's from those to that. That's pretty specific. We'll talk about what I mean by that a few slides later. But, you know, one thing I want to think about is, do these major storylines for those periods that we're covering in that 17 period layer outline, cycle one outline, can those storylines begin to help answer these kind of questions? Obviously, the way I'm asking the question, I'm going to say it probably does. But how does that work? And how does it? How can these storylines help to begin to tell us about themselves and each other and how they relate to each other? So let's think about those. So these are the four major periods we'll be covering today. So before the flood, scattering of the people, the patriarchs. But as we start talking about this, let's just talk about the first three to start off with, because I'm going to say that fourth one is a little bit different, and we'll talk about how that's different here in a minute. So looking at these first three. Let's do talk about just a little bit of history and geography-wise. So again, we're at the beginning of times that are unknown from a dating perspective, places that are barely mentioned. You have something mentioned, Tigris and Euphrates, land of Shinar, things like that, and we have some you know, the references where we can roughly put where those are. But I think the point here with that is that maybe location is not the point, right? Because it's not giving you very specific details on where things are. It's not giving you things like we'll have, you know, when we get into the invasion and conquest, some of the wandering, United Kingdom, Divided Kingdom. You got, you know, very specific cities that you're going to be hitting. And we will hit a couple today, but not very many, and not in the volume that you'll hit as we continue on in other classes. So, you know, in my mind, when I think about that, well, if the scripture is emphasizing more these narrative stories, you know, that's what our focus should be, and that's what we should be teaching. So just, you know, just a thought on that about what's critical in the storylines there. And as we think about that, yeah, so, you know, also too, I was thinking about this with Tim's last lecture. So, you know, we're going through doing some of the memory work on some of those maps. You know, one thing I do when I think through these periods is I kind of think through the maps as I'm thinking through the periods as well. And so I think I've done that without really thinking about it, without ever saying in a class, hey, you know, this is something I used to help me. But I was realizing as Tim was going through that memory work on the last class with maps, that, you know, if I think about where we are now, if I think about Genesis and I think about before the flood and the flood, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, that's, we're over here roughly in this area. If I'm thinking about land of Shinar, Tower of Babel, scattering of the people, you know, my mind is still over here. But when I transition over into the patriarchs, where do we go? We go over and down into central Israel. So we're coming from over here down into that area there, right? And then as we continue, you know, into Egypt, out of Egypt. So I think in my mind, one thing I do is think through the maps as you're thinking through. And this could happen on a couple levels. You could do it on one level, like what we're doing with the big 17 periods, and you could think through, you know, 17 images of maps, you know, where you are. But as you cover, like, all of this over a quarter, you could kind of use maps to structure, like with Bob and Sandra's book that you have. You could use maps to structure and help structure memory for you, whoever you're teaching, the kids. You know, a kind of a map memory of going through the narrative cycle and the timeline. But there again, what we're covering here is more the detailed outline for each of these periods. So again, not many photos or maps to go along with that. And so here we are with before the flood. So you're getting into the details like creation. Earth was without form, void. It was dark. You have the days of creation that you know, where God creates things and brings things into order. You end that with him resting on the Sabbath day. You have Adam and Eve in the garden. So you have the blessings, the garden being one of the blessings itself. Woman was given to man. You have encounters with God and Satan. You have the first issue, problem, the first sin, you know, where we talk about the serpent, the tree, knowledge of good and evil. The deception that goes on with that, and ultimately with the actions that are taken by Adam and Eve, what happens? They're expelled from the garden. And then you have the story of Cain and Abel, about them offering sacrifices, how God responded to that, not positive to Cain's, but positive to Abel's. And then the actions where they had a little dust up after that, where Cain killed Abel because of that. And then you have generations. And then you have that very distinct transition, cover the generations, and then you go into the flood. So with the flood, you have starts off with the wickedness of the people that's starting to cause this next set of actions. And you have a wickedness of the people, you have a judgment that is pronounced on them, and then the instructions for the ark are given, and Noah starts preparing the ark. So then the flood comes. So get everybody on the boat. The waters come, the flood actually comes, and then you have the time that's on the ark. Flood recedes. The water recession process happens. You have Noah testing for land, sending out the doves and the series of that to where they eventually don't come back. Tells you there's land out there. And then you have God making a covenant with Noah. And so, you know, in my mind when I was typing this, I'm thinking, okay, so I remember, you know, Tim's outline, we got to this point and there was some of these details are listed. So with this covenant, some things were mentioned, like meat was given for food to the people, capital punishment was instituted, you have the rainbow, that symbol that the earth would not be destroyed by water again. And so, you know, you have those things that happen there. But then you have another event, and I phrase this as another fall event. And so what I want to start thinking about here for this slide and the previous slide, that pattern that we talked about, when you start teaching this and constructing that pattern, you know, what are some things here that you can bring out and point out? And in my mind, what I see here is having seemingly a cycle of things. So you have creation, you have everything set in order initially, Adam and Eve in the garden, everything is good, but then you have that first sin, you have the issue, you have a problem. And you have God and man, humans interacting, and you have this issue that comes up. So they sin, do something wrong, and expelled from the garden. So you have an event that kind of clears things out. Then you have Cain and Abel just immediately after that. You have you have murder happening very early on. And Cain there are some things that are done to Cain because of that, that are permanent effects on him. When we get here, you kind of have that reset, but you have the wickedness of the people again. And then what do you have? You have the flood coming. You have this judgment event that happens. But, you know, after that is over and you have this covenant being made, what do you have? At just very short, just a few verses, and very immediately after that, you have this, again, what I'm just calling another fall event, like fall of man kind of event, where, something is not being done right again, but you had that, you had the reset because of what, how God deals with that and what happens to Ham after that and the curse that's placed on Ham after that. So again, just trying to establish that pattern and kind of the cycle of things that are happening. But then when we jump to, it's one more, scattering of the people. You have the Tower of Babel. So you kind of have that reset event like we just talked about. And then you have Tower of Babel. So another episode in Shinar. And, we talked about this in the timeline lecture where they desired to build a tower, wanted to reach the heavens, wanted to make a name for themselves. Their desire was not to be scattered. And what comes after that is generations are listed. And so you have a genealogy, you have some locations that are mentioned. And how the earth was populated, how the people were scattered, and things like that. So if you think about this, so Genesis chapter 9, where the covenant is given, so you have later in verse 19 where Noah and his three sons are mentioned, and it's mentioned about them, scattering and repopulating the earth. But then you have chapter 10, which is often called, in most Bible headings, we'll have it listed as the Table of Nations. And so you'll have all the descendants listed out, not all, but you'll have different lines of descendants listed out for the three sons. And then you will have some locations are talked about there as well. And then you also have languages that are talked about there as well. And so you have those things mentioned, chapter 9, chapter 10, but then you actually have the chapter 11 with the Tower of Babel that's kind of looking back and saying, this is how that scattering happened. Okay, so that's those first three sections. But then we get down to the patriarchs. And this is different, right? It's longer. We're getting into multiple people that we're talking about, and thinking more about biographical kind of things. As you're starting to follow people, specific people. Talked about specific people before, but not in these longer storylines like you're going to have in the patriarchs. And of course, we're starting out with Abraham with that. And so, if we look at if we look at all the events associated with Abraham and kind of that storyline there. So big things to cover in the narrative. So very early on, of course, talking about his family, we're talking about that covenant that was mentioned, and we're talking about Abraham actually being in Canaan. And so in this, where we're starting in Genesis 12, 13, in those chapters, and we start talking about Abraham being in Canaan, this is where we have some of the first specific mentions of where we land first in central Israel. So Shechem being the first place that Abraham actually lands, that we have recorded as a place. Then we have these other things. So you have the promises, land, seed, and nation that are going to be repeated over and over again to the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You have other stories mixed in there, Sodom and Gomorrah. And of course, the main tie in there is Lot and Abraham, and then others, Abraham and Abimelech, Isaac and Ishmael, Abraham's test of faith. And so we think about where he was directed to offer Isaac and how that played out. Purchase of a tomb, probably talk about that in just a moment in some more detail. A wife for Isaac. So you have these different things going along with Abraham, our first patriarch. And this is a map, and we'll start using the maps that you have here in just a minute. So not no, you can't read this, but this is one of the Scott Richardson maps. It's a really good one for the patriarchs and some of the main cities we're going to be hitting as we start going through this. And okay, so this is where if you actually want to make notes on your map. So these are some of the cities that are the main ones for what we'll be talking about for the rest of this class for just a few more minutes. And the one I'm going to start out with, and this may look a little weird, but when I started putting all the arrows on the maps and trying to get them to appear and then disappear, I realized I hadn't put Jerusalem in as the anchor point, as the first reference. So it's closer to the bottom, but it's going to be the first one. But always a good reference point is Jerusalem. And so not that we're going to be hitting Jerusalem big this morning, but if you want to put a dot on your map for Jerusalem to help you remember it, the way to remember Jerusalem, as Tim pointed out the other night, is top of the Dead Sea and just come over. About halfway between the Mediterranean and the Jordan River. Not quite half, it's a little bit to the right side, but good reference point for where Jerusalem is. And once you put Jerusalem there, you can place all the other dots in reference to it. So the next one we're going to hit is Shechem, first place that Abraham lands. So a good memory peg for that is, so Jordan River, about halfway at the Jordan River, and this one is about halfway between, just right at halfway between the Jordan River and the Mediterranean Sea. So Shechem, super critical location, going to have it mentioned here first this morning, and then it's going to play a critical role throughout the rest of the Old Testament for sure. So Shechem. And if in the back you can't see it, S-H-E-C-H-E-M. All right, Bethel. So for place in Bethel, if you'll come just slightly north, a couple of clicks north of Jerusalem, and over to the left, just a little bit. So it's Bethel. Beit El in Hebrew, house of God. So it's a critical tie-in point with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob as well. And then another city that's mentioned close to it is Ai. Usually say this Ai. In the Hebrew, the A, the Aleph, is silent. So it's just Ai. And so those two are right close to each other. And then also with Abraham this morning, we'll talk about Hebron. And so that one, you can place it at about the center of the Dead Sea. And, you know, about halfway, a little bit to the right, more in line with Jerusalem. Penuel is another one. This is where Jacob wrestles with the angel. Oftentimes we say this one as Succoth, that's Sukkot, would be the Hebrew pronunciation, S-U-C-C-O-T-H. And that one, as you can see, is just, it's right there on the Jabbok River, Jabbok, just left of Penuel. And then the last one there is Beersheba. And so that one, you can think about it being down where you have the skinny part of the Dead Sea, just over from that, and it's about halfway. So a lot of these, about halfway. Some of them just a little to the right. And there are a lot of, most of them are at midpoint. So midpoint there, midpoint for the Dead Sea, midpoint of Jordan River. Jerusalem is the only one that's at the top as a reference point. Okay, and so with this slide, pretty much the slide we had before, but just thinking about some of these routes. And so a couple of ways that Abraham could have came in down by the sea, could have came in, crossed just above Sea of Galilee, and come down this way through Galilee. It's a very good chance he would have come, hit Damascus, and come down the King's Highway on the Trans-Jordan side. And the reason is because if you're going to Shechem, you would come down the King's Highway this way, have a crossing here that's just a little bit south of where Shechem would be, would come over. And then there's a wadi, a dry stream bed, that would go up to the path to Shechem. And so as we begin to think about this, so if we're coming down Transjordan Plateau and we're going to cross right here, what kind of landform are we crossing there? What does that look like? What does that feel like? Somebody tell me. What is that area? What is this? Yeah, Galilee's up here, but if we're crossing right here, what are we crossing? Crossing the Jordan River and the Jordan Valley. But when we're coming up into Shechem and we're right here, what kind of landscape is this area? What's the landform here? Anybody? Mountainous. It's hills. It's that central hill country. And there's a route that runs along that central hill country. If we were to make it over this far, what's the landform over here? What's it like? Coastal plain, so it's flat, right? So beginning to think about, as we think about how they're going to travel through this, what are they doing? Coming down Transjordan Plateau, we've seen pictures of what that looks like, what it feels like. We're going to come over and cross the Jordan Valley, hot and dry, especially when you get down in the lower area of it. Starting about right there, it begins to be that way. When you get up over into where Shechem is, that's going to be hill country. Not going over that far, but if you're over this far, it'd be coastal plain. And again, now you can't see it very well in this map for the names, but yeah, that is Shechem right there. And then Bethel and Ai would be right there. And we have Jerusalem right here. And this is a picture that we've seen before, but this is, so Shechem would be down in the valley right here in this area. So it's between Mount Ebal and Gerizim. So Gerizim on the left, Ebal on the right. That's looking north, going that direction. We're actually looking west toward the Mediterranean there. If we're talking about Bethel and Ai, so this is that same picture we've seen before that's just west and a little bit south of Jerusalem, but this is what the hill country would look like in the area just above Jerusalem as well for where Bethel and Ai would be. All right, so we go from Abraham into Isaac. So Isaac, the promised son, we talked about the test of faith. Abraham had a servant to go acquire a wife for him from his homeland. Okay, so if we're talking about Isaac's homeland, where would we be talking about? Are we staying here or are we going somewhere else? We're going somewhere else, right? So we're going back up over to the Haran area where Laban would have been. So think back up over in this area. So Abraham, originally came out of Ur, but then stopped in Haran, was there for a while before coming into central Israel. But that's where Abraham wants his servant to go back to get a wife for him. So continuing with Isaac, Jacob and Esau, the birthright story, the first story that comes up with them, or not the first story, but a later story that comes up with them, and then Jacob's deception to Isaac as well. And so interactions with the Philistines, repeated promises. And we'd come back to that covenant history concept. So think about the things we've covered. Think about those first three main periods that we talked about, and think about these the patriarch period and how it's different. So, we had those kind of cycles of God and man, God and humans interacting, there being sin, there being an issue, there being a problem, things being kind of reset and made right, but then you have another issue that would happen. And so you had that cycle that would keep happening, but then what changes with the patriarchs? Well, you have Abraham and the promises made to Abraham, and you had this story that is different where you have this one guy that we start following that travels from his homeland to this place where God directed him to, and just everything that starts coming along with that. So that's different. It's more expanded. We're following these people for longer periods of time. And we have these, in this case, patriarchs, these four people in particular that we're following. So it's like what we're doing in Genesis is we have this history of a covenant that's set forth. It's the issues and problems between God and man. But but we're also starting to get the solution for that as well, right? We have God providing the solution in a covenant. And we have this covenant that's repeated again and again to these patriarchs. So that's with Isaac. And then Jacob. So we have Jacob fleeing Esau. So we have that deception event that happens where Jacob steals the blessing. And you have Jacob fleeing. So he flees from Esau because Esau was angry enough to kill him. So he flees. And so one of the first places he goes is what one of the places we just put on the map is Bethel. Again, Beit El, house of God, is what it's named. And this is where you have the episode where the ladder goes up to heaven with angels on it, and the promises are repeated. And so this is when he is fleeing, so he's exiting out and going to Laban. And so that's where Jacob acquires his wives, Leah and Rachel, has his business dealings with Laban. But eventually, Jacob does a lot of fleeing, right? So he has the issues with Laban, is going to leave, and he flees from Laban to come back into the central part of Israel. And of course, when he does that, Jacob and Esau are then reunited. And so a couple of points there. So when Jacob comes back in, so on some of the spots that we talked about, oops, going the wrong way. So where Jacob comes back in is there at Penuel. And also after they are rejoined there, then we have, I was trying to get back to you. Sukkot, I keep going backwards. Yeah, Sukkot, where it was mentioned that Jacob built some booths or structures or covers, likely for livestock. Okay. Yep, and that gets us through Jacob. And then to finish up, we have Joseph. And Joseph is really more of that connector to get us down into Egypt. So he has the early interactions with his brothers. He's sold into slavery, and that begins his time in Egypt. So with that, he rises to importance within the house that he's in, Potiphar's house. Then he has the issue with Potiphar's wife, which lands him in prison. And then he has the dreams about the butler and the baker. And so, and this is where butler, baker, and Pharaoh. And so this is where he interprets those dreams for them. And because of that, what happens is that he ends up interpreting those dreams for Pharaoh, and then he has his rise to power, not importance in a house, but to power in the Egyptian government structure. And so with that, the story leads to his brothers coming to Egypt because of the famine, coming to get food. And you have their interactions, Joseph was testing them to see how they were, if they had changed. And did you have the reveal where Joseph reveals himself to them? And what that triggers then is Israel's move down to Egypt. So you have Jacob and Joseph being reunited. And then you have Israel, like the people of Israel, eventually moving to Egypt because of that. And then to close out with Genesis, you have Jacob's blessings there to his sons. And so, like, you know, as we're hitting each one of these main points, I mean, these are things that, as you know, you're studying this yourself, or as you're covering it, teaching it in a class, it's those things that you're going to expand out over time. You know, can't do that here just because it's, you know, kind of one class shot per these major time periods that we're covering in review sections. But that just kind of helps give a structure for, you know, what you would cover over that quarter in Genesis. Okay, so any thoughts or comments on that, the structure, maybe how the narrative works, and maybe other points to pull out of that? All right, if not, we'll stop with that. And did everybody get a map? Anybody need a map for, need one more? Okay. Anybody else? Anybody? All right, two.